Kia ora, welcome to Power Up Podcast, powered by Venture Taranaki and produced by Raw Collective. We're celebrating the success of remarkable Taranaki entrepreneurs, highlighting their stories and showcasing the best of work and play in this exceptional region. This season, we're talking to trailblazing enterprise owners and founders in energy, tech and well-being, beverage crafters, commercial developers, and digital storytellers. And it's no exaggeration to say that some are genuine world leaders in their fields, pioneering positive global change while living the famous Taranaki like no other lifestyle. I'm your host, David Downs. Let's discover why Taranaki is a region where unique natural and business environments collide, enabling people to flourish both at work and home. No mai, haere mai, we welcome you to hear our enterprising future like no other. Taranaki has long been New Zealand's energy hub, and the region is playing a leading role in transition from traditional fuels into carbon-free sources. Elemental Group is at the forefront of these efforts as expert consultants, both locally and internationally. Directors Nick Jackson and Brett Rogers are energy sector veterans and visionaries for the future. Some of their work includes large-scale projects such as offshore wind farms and major infrastructural work for large companies, cities, and governments. In short, they help clients to transition to better energy solutions. Nick and Brett have a joint goal of growing New Zealand's renewable energy generation by 600%. It's an immensely ambitious target, and their plan for how they're going to do it is fascinating. Okay, Brett and Nick, welcome. Who's Nick?
I'm Nick.
And?
I'm Brett.
There's a process of elimination. Brilliant. We've got so far, so good. Where have you come from today?
About 200 metres away.
Oh, all right. You're nice and close.
Big trip.
Yeah, big trip. How's the traffic? All right. Just getting pretty gnarly out there. Nice.
Not too bad.
Now, I've seen Elemental Group described as an energy consulting business, but I don't know what that means. So could you enlighten me?
Yeah, I guess we can enlighten you on that. We started off as a pure consultancy. I don't think we'd describe ourselves as a pure consultancy now, or maybe we're a consultancy with aspirations to become an energy developer. But a consultancy essentially places people in clients' businesses and delivers outcomes.
Yep.
So that's probably still 50% of our business, Brett.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the other 50% then, Brett?
The other part is development. So that's actually pulling together all of the things you need to develop energy projects.
Right.
We've come from a background in oil and gas, both of us, and in the wider team we've got people that we've brought in. The other half is really around renewables. And interestingly, at the moment, there's something that we're doing which absolutely spans that, which is decommissioning of oil and gas,
right,
which of course spells the end to that project,
that
asset.
Yeah.
And then move into the renewables that come later.
You're going through a very fascinating transition, aren't we, in that realm, and you guys are living through it. You know, in 50 years' time, the engineers of the day won't be doing it, and 50 years ago they weren't doing it, but you're living in this time where renewables is growing fast. Fossil fuels are still a thing, though. So how do you, what's the balance like at the moment, and how do you see that changing?
We've come from a background of 100% oil and gas. In our strategy session or a few years ago now, we certainly saw this transition coming. So renewables were set up in 2014.
Yep.
And I'd say we're probably roughly 50-50 at the moment in terms of oil and gas renewables. And we see in the future, well, obviously the end game is 100% renewables, but that's certainly going to take a few decades in our view.
Yeah. And to get into that, so your oil and gas backgrounds, tell us a little bit about that. Where did you work or learn your trade?
Here in Taranaki.
Oh, really?
But also overseas. I mean, one of the cool things about energy is that it's incredibly international. I mean, a lot of our clients are international companies. They work with all nationalities of the world, and they work all over the world. And so both of us have worked Holland, Australia, Indonesia, all over the place, which is a really cool part of an industry where you can do that.
Yeah. You too? Was that part of your background as well? A lot of international man of mystery stuff?
Not so much man of mystery. I spent a bit of time in Australia and we've done a bit in Papua New Guinea, but I'm a geologist by background.
Yeah.
And certainly there's opportunities to do that globally. 20 years ago, I kind of made the decision to hang out more locally as the family grew.
Yeah.
It was a kind of conscious decision. So yeah, I've been working in Taranaki since 1994 in oil and gas, and We've bounced around between here and Perth and Wellington and been here in Taranaki this time for 10 years, I think.
Nice. Yeah. Were you both Taranaki born and bred?
No, I don't think either of us were we?
No? So you've chosen to come here. That's good. What is it about the place that brings you back here or has kept you here?
Probably common ground there with Brett. It's a great place to raise a family. A 5-minute commute to everywhere pretty much with kids. Good outdoor activities, but still as a city, bats above its weight with regards to amenities, due in part at least to the industries that are resident here.
Yeah. Fantastic. What about you? Were you born and bred?
I'm up the road at Tika Woody.
Oh, okay. Tika Woody boy made good. Nice. And then you got together, from a business sense anyway, and formed Elemental Group. Tell us about the setup of that right back when.
Yeah, so Elemental Group was founded in 2012, I think, so it must be just about coming up 10 years. And it was born of oil and gas background and recognising the need to transition, bringing on other skill sets that we've talked about, Kate in the environmental space and Andrew, certainly the underwriting the renewables expertise initially. Yeah. We've learned a lot in the past 10 years on the back of that and started off purely consulting and just worked from there essentially.
Yeah.
Both of us had our own companies, but we wanted to do more. And the way to do that is together. And we've just continued to build on that philosophy, really. Keep bringing in great people.
Fantastic. And you've got some good clients as well as great people. You've got large companies, you've got cities and regions, you've even got Pacific Islands as clients. So tell us a little bit about what those clients are asking you to fix for them or solve.
That's cool. That's one of my favourite stories is what we've done in the islands. And that was with MFAT, with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade.
The Pacific Aid and stuff.
And they recognised that one of the things they could help islands with was their energy bills because they paid a huge amount in diesel costs for their power systems. And so with the advent of solar, we've put in probably 20% of their power system is now solar, which backs out that diesel use. But the diesel's still there in case you need it later.
Yeah.
And as time's moved on, the technologies around batteries has improved. And now we've also moved into the Caribbean, helping another client with that.
Really?
Yeah, I keep missing out on those trips. I keep going with the smart young ones. And
there's got to be some perks.
we get to see the photos. And so now a lot more of those projects involve batteries and solar and less diesel, which is great. Yeah. You know, that's part of the transition.
That's where you want to go. And you say it was a strategic choice that you made as a business to go into renewables and think more about how that was going to replace some of the traditional. But to your point, it's not a full replacement yet and can't be yet. It's a backup. You've got to have some different options.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of media coverage on that, and certainly we recognise the crucial part gas plays in our energy system presently. You know, the government's indicated their aspirations, and we're intent on helping them, I guess, get there as quickly as we can.
Yeah. When you talk about renewables, what are we talking about? Wind, solar, wave?
Geothermal,
okay.
Yeah. Hydro.
All right, so there's a full gamut of stuff, which means you've got to have got a lot of diverse skills then in the team to understand that.
Yeah, we at the moment, we focus more on solar and wind and battery. That's really where our strengths are at the moment. I mean, we've helped out on geothermal projects, but I wouldn't say we're as strong as we are in those other three.
Right. What's the big trend here? I mean, offshore wind is something we talk about in Taranaki a bit. You've been involved in that, as I understand. Do you think that's the future for the energy industry here, or is it at least going to have a part of the future?
It's definitely exciting because the thing about offshore wind is New Zealand has this huge, huge exclusive economic zone, right?
Yeah.
And it's 15 times bigger than the country that we think of as New Zealand. So New Zealand's 16 times bigger than we think of.
Yeah.
And don't know if you've noticed here in Taranaki, but it blows a little bit. And
used to be a problem, and used to be an opportunity.
Exactly. And the thing is, the wind in New Zealand is just out of this world. It's great. It's world-class.
World-class wind. Best per capita wind in the world. Okay, good.
It is. And the great thing is, if you've got too much of a really good thing, what should you do with it? Well, you should share it.
Yeah.
And so that's really where the 600% thing came in around 600% renewables, is that we can look at fixing up our own system, which is really important, and there's great plans in place on how to do that. But the really exciting opportunity is to actually develop past that and actually have a new industry.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. The concept behind 600% is that at the moment the government has a target for 2030 of 100% renewables of electricity. And what we're saying is, well, if you have more than that, then it helps you with a whole lot of local domestic challenges that we have in electricity. But it also means that you can export. Yeah. And so, you know, not only do we become the land of milk and honey, we can also be the land of wonderful renewable electrons, which you then can transfer into other products.
Right.
We make aluminium, which is basically an electricity export. We make dairy foods, yeah, which are highly dehydrated through energy. So a lot of our products already are energy intensive, and there's a lot more that you can have, you know, data centers, all sorts of things.
Nice. So you say the vision of 100% net carbon zero is actually shooting too low. We need to go much higher than that, and offshore wind is part of that by the sound of it.
In a nutshell, yeah.
Fantastic. Good. What does that mean to those of us on the ground who, you know, fill up our cars every day or turn the power on in our houses and don't think too much about the downstream impact of that? You know, what does the future look like for a power consumer listening to this?
I think a lot more secure. And I think it's important to say that we're not advocating just for offshore wind. We're advocating that there's a goal in New Zealand to decarbonise not just the electricity sector, but wider industry.
Yeah.
And to do that, it's all hands to the pump. If that occurs, then for the average consumer, it looks like affordable and secure energy supply in the future. And as Brett says, if we go further, there's potential for development of green industry here.
Yeah.
And he's listed a few of them that have potential for sure.
And this is a region that we could really capitalise on some of those opportunities.
Absolutely.
It? Yeah. I mean, when you think about the change in the sectors, like the dairy sector changing potentially over time, and the oil and gas industry definitely, you know, this is potentially replacement industries and part of that whole transition model.
Transition is certainly something that's close to our hearts, I guess, having seen what oil and gas have done for Taranaki. You know, we are looking for something that continues to provide those high-paying and worthwhile,
yeah,
jobs that people can do, and essentially, well, hopefully bring more people along for the ride. I mean, this industry, I think, can be significantly larger than the oil and gas industry, and if we do it correctly, then the rewards for Taranaki and wider New Zealand will be even more than we got from oil and gas, essentially.
I have to say I'm very heartened to hear that, because quite a lot of the narrative gets captured by, you know, the sunsetting industry and what the impact might be on jobs and houses and families and communities. But to hear that you think it could be bigger, that renewables sector could be even bigger, that's exciting for the future of Taranaki.
Yeah, well, it's becoming, the aspirations globally of some countries are, with regards to offshore wind, are pretty huge. So I think our view is that if we're going to do that here in New Zealand, we need to actually be thinking regionally, and I'm talking Asia Pacific there, so we actually need to almost develop an industry down here, talk nicely to our neighbours and work out what they do well, what we do well, and actually have a coordinated approach between Australia and New Zealand and probably the wider Asia Pac area.
Mm. Oh, that's good. And of course, there'll be barriers and headwinds. Excuse the pun. Putting things onto a seabed or into a landscape that already exists can come with difficulties and challenges. So what do you foresee as being some of the obstacles we need to overcome to get to this 600% renewables vision?
It's pretty simple, I think. I think New Zealanders have to want it. They have to see themselves as part of a global initiative to fight to decarbonise, and they have to want to be part of that. That's really important.
Very good. So talking about your business then, Elemental, you know, you've seen this opportunity, you've got a vision for the future, you're growing and diversifying as you're doing it. Has the business been around a while? How much have you grown so far, and where do you think this can take you?
I think this will be our best year, and it's really because Nick's the director of transition, right, which is around how do you help oil and gas transition.
Yeah.
And part of that is this business around decommissioning. And so with that actually coming into our books this year, that lifts us nicely. And of course, there's a lot of infrastructure out there that still needs to be decommissioned at the right time, obviously, when those fields become uneconomic.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's quite a lot out there.
That's good.
Just following on from that, the company's essentially firing on all cylinders presently. There's oil and gas projects ongoing. There's offshore wind and there's onshore renewables, whereas previously we hadn't actually done many renewables projects in New Zealand. They'd all been in the Pacific,
right,
essentially. So there's been a real turning point in New Zealand, I think, with regards to renewables. A wind rush is one of our directors talks about, and in the solar as well, obviously.
Yeah. Have we got enough sun in this country to really be dependent on solar?
It's dubious at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Certain regions of the country. What about wins along the way for Elemental? Have you enjoyed some good successes? Got some really good projects to crow about? Your Caribbean one sounds pretty cool.
They're two of the best sets.
Yeah.
It's a real tick on that transition. And the thing is that I really like about those projects is that they make economic sense for those donor countries, right? There's so many positive things that come off that. I mean, one of the interesting things is, and it's something that we're quite keen on, is that on top of energy projects, when you look at countries that are starting to feel the full effects of climate change, that water becomes critical. And so we're now starting to find that some of our energy projects actually become also water projects around desalination, because that's really important to those communities.
So it kind of diversifies your the things you need to know about and learn about and skills you have to have in-house. Wow, that's interesting. Being based in Taranaki and having clients in the Pacific Islands and the Caribbean and all around the country, is that a make it difficult or does it not really matter too much?
It's certainly been challenging over the last few years with COVID. I mean, the guys have literally just started travelling within the last 2 or 3 months.
Right.
And so some of these projects they've been managing in the Caribbean and the Pacific for well over a year via Zoom and Teams, et cetera. So to actually get on the ground and ground truth some of your assumptions is core to engineering. It's the only way you ever figure out what's going on. They've coped pretty well, but nothing beats getting on
the
ground.
Seeing them in the eyeballs.
Yeah. For sure.
You can't. You can hardly sip a mojito, over Zoom, can you?
Well, you can. You just have to turn the camera off.
And what about attracting talent? I mean, being in a place like Taranaki, you've got good things. It's, great for families, et cetera, but maybe getting people to move here. How have you found, I suppose, the talent piece of the business?
We've actually been really lucky. We've got really good people who really want to come here, and it's been really good. I mean, we've also got an office in Auckland, so people are now attracted to that option. And the other thing is that the work model has just totally changed. We started off doing remote working in 2010 because our admin support came out of a boat in Paihia and still does.
Yeah.
And so we were sort of open to that. And really what you find now is that people with a laptop wherever they sit themselves is their office. And then it's just about how do you keep getting the glue of the organisation working so that people aren't left by themselves.
Yeah, the culture of the team and the organisation, particularly as you're growing and changing, I suppose, it's thoughtful. And as a consultancy practice, do you have partners or do you have a CEO? What's the kind of model there?
We have a board.
Oh, you have a board and then a team.
Actually, one of the things that's really cool is that every so often something will go awry and one of the directors will be just perhaps they're slightly more available, and that's just they start working on that issue.
Yeah.
And this happened a number of times where someone's running a project, and then the next thing they've got a director working for them, helping them because they just need a hand at that time. So it's a really good mucking in type culture.
Yeah. Does that come from the oil and gas sector? Do you think that sort of attitude? Because you need to be able to turn your hand to a few things.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case or we just hire well, but but certainly people are quite happy to assist in their non-core discipline, which is great. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You sound like you're optimistic for the future. I love your 600% thing. I'm going to tell people about that. But tell me, for those of us who sometimes watch the news and we watch all sorts of storms and horrible things going on around the world and go, is there a hope, I suppose? Do you see a future where a different type of energy use is going to have a substantial change to the way that we use the resources of the planet? Are you hopeful?
Certain.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. I mean, you've just got to look at the thing about energy is it always underlies the things that we do. So the first real breakthrough was fire, and since then we've just been playing with technology ever since. Our business is based on fire. Oil and gas, they can have very big fires. And you see with some of the modern battery technologies, they also have good fires when they have their ones.
Yeah.
But that's what energy is, right? That's sort of the simple expression of energy. And in terms of the decarbonisation imperative, what's going to happen is it's going really slowly now, but it's changing. And within a decade, we'll be off and running, is our hope, provided the Crown puts in place the things that it needs to let that happen. And once it gets running, it'll go really fast. And my expectation is that we'll be beating the 2050 target. But at the moment, we're not doing it fast enough. And, right. and a good example of, you know, a new technology that, that's now common is electric vehicles. You know, you just fill them up at home off a 240-volt plug and you can drive to Auckland. And a decade ago, it was like, oh, this is really going to change everything. And everyone's like, yeah, right, nah.
Yeah.
A decade on, you know, Tesla are now doing 1 million vehicles a year. And all of the other automakers are planning within 5 years to be doing at least that as well. So that'll be a tenfold change. Those things take ages to get going. It seems really slow on a yearly basis, but on a decadal basis, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I'm very hopeful then. Right, last couple of questions before I let you go. And you're both going to get these questions, so you can hear the other one, hear their response.
Start with Nick.
Nick, describe your dream day in Taranaki.
Well, there's a variety of things that could occur there, but I'm probably going to be reasonably cliched. Get up, go for an early morning dip in the ocean, and then head up the mountain, do something up there.
Nice. Yeah,
one of the many walks, and then home for a barbecue probably.
Oh, yeah. That sounds very, very delightful.
Pretty boring. But, you know.
What about you?
He didn't mention that he takes his laptop on the swim.
And someone else is cooking the barbecue, but yes.
Oh, there you go.
Great. What about you? Perfect day.
Perfect day would be surf boat row out off the coast here with Taranaki wearing its lovely orange cloak.
Yeah.
I really like the work-life balance that we have. And so a great day would include some random thing cropping up that you just get to fix without expecting to have to fix it, but it's a really nice outcome. Yep. And then quiet gin and tonic with my better half while cooking dinner. That's probably a good day.
That sounds like fun. I don't even know your better half, but now I'm quite attracted by the whole idea of this. Okay, and then my second question, and you'll have to go first this time. What's the best thing about living and working in Taranaki?
For me, it's the ocean. The vibe and the ability to go swimming and the energy from the waves, and it's just a fantastic asset. And I suppose the thing that's ironic is that when I first came here 30-odd years ago, New Plymouth was a town that focused on the park and the mountain. It was land-focused. And the walkway has just transformed this place to allow you to be both.
Yeah.
And it's just fantastic.
What about you, mate?
I love the ocean as well, but I guess I'm going to have to say the mountain because he said the ocean.
You know, one each.
But look, I think it's the five-minute commute, and that's to everything.
Yeah.
You know, having lived in Wellington, and, you know, it's a 40-minute commute to dance and a 40-minute commute to a barbecue and whatever. Everything's a five-minute commute here. So you can't really beat that.
Lifestyle, eh?
Yep.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Thank you very much for joining me.
No worries.
Kia ora. Thanks so much for listening. And a special thanks to Venture Taranaki for making the Power Up podcast possible. If you're an entrepreneur or looking to get a new venture off the ground in Taranaki, visit the Venture Taranaki website and their business support services on offer that could help you bring your idea to life. If you're not familiar with Taranaki, come and take a look. There's something here for everyone. With a supportive business community, vibrant towns, unrivaled experiences, and abundant nature, Taranaki is humming. Your entrepreneurial flair, enterprise, and career will flourish here, and you and your family can make Taranaki your home. Lastly, please rate, review, and subscribe. It helps others find us.